Please be seated. Congratulations on standing that whole time. You did a good job. I'm going to start out this Sunday by asking you all a question, and I hope I see at least a few nods out there, or I'm going to feel really bad about myself. Has anybody ever felt like they were so sure they were right about something, so sure that they saw it clearly, only to find out after the fact that they actually didn't see it as clearly as they thought? They were actually wrong. Right? Okay, good. So not just me. Okay. Well, this is very much what we're talking about in this gospel story for today. One of the great stories of dramatic irony in the Gospel of John, where the gospel puts forward the blind man who can see God's blessings at work in front of him, and people who can see and are blind to God's blessings in front of them. I'll tell you a story from my own life. I had been working at Eastern Michigan University for about 5 years, and I had been working closely with the political science department, and a local congressman reached out to me and asked me if I would consider interviewing for a position on the on his reelection campaign, and wanted to know if I would drive about an hour, hour and a half to come and meet with the campaign manager in the campaign office. And I agreed to go on a Wednesday, and when that Wednesday came, I got a big cup of coffee, got in the car, headed out the hour, hour and a half drive out to the campaign office. And when I got there, I was shocked to discover the secretary said not only was my appointment not on the schedule, but the campaign manager wasn't even there that day. So I was angry. I was outraged. I got back in the car and I slammed the door. And I drove the whole hour-long drive home just stewing about this. The injustice. The disrespect. Got home. I was still angry. Sat down at my computer. Write an email. A bad idea. Writing an email explaining to the campaign manager how this was so disrespectful that I had taken the time to make sure I had him on my calendar and I set aside that time and paid him respect. And if he was not as respectful of other people's time as they were of his time, that he wasn't going to get very far in this world. And I sent the email. And it wasn't until after I sent the email that I looked more closely at my calendar. And the interview was for next Wednesday. So needless to say, I learned a valuable lesson that day, and I've tried not to make that same mistake again. But I was so sure I was right. I was so sure I had seen it clearly that I wasn't even willing to consider that maybe I didn't see it clearly. I didn't even think to maybe ask the secretary about the date or to confirm with the campaign manager or even look at my own calendar and make sure I had the date right because I was sure I saw it clearly. And that's exactly what's happening to the Pharisees in this story. The Pharisees that are good, God-loving people, they want to love and obey their God and they're doing their best and they think they see it so clearly that they're missing out at how God is working in unexpected and surprising way in their midst. In this story from the Gospel of John, the healing of the blind man is one of the things that we call a sign. We call it a sign in the Gospel of John because it points to some greater truth beyond the miracle itself. And in this case, the greater story of God's love for his people, a love that even though this blind man, even though he's not high status in society, even though he's done nothing to earn God's love, to buy God's grace, God loves him and wants him to be whole. And that's all that matters to God. But you see, the Pharisees can't see that. They won't see that. So sure they are that someone who works on the Sabbath is a sinner. You work on the Sabbath, you're a sinner, therefore you're a bad person, can't be a man of God. And even when they're confronted, even when they're confronted with a miracle right in front of them, God's clear blessings working through this man, Jesus, they won't see it. They can't see it. And they bring forward people and they ask them, well, who is this Jesus? And they say, well, clearly he's a man of God. And they say, no, but he worked on the Sabbath because they see it so, so clearly. That's the danger we would find ourselves in. This is the warning in the gospel for all of us. And it's a warning for the Jews in Jesus' time. It's a warning for us here that it's good for us to be sure of ourselves, to be confident, to stand up for what we know is right. But always to do so, knowing in the back of our minds that none of us see the whole picture. None of us know exactly how God is working in our midst. Now, in the church, we want to be people who are good at that, but even in the church, we're prone to this. I know one example of a church. This church will remain nameless. The new rector that arrived and wanted to see how they worshiped, and when he arrived on the very first Sunday, he watched as the acolytes, when they crossed the center aisle, they took a big step over the middle. And he thought that was weird. But then he noticed the lay Eucharistic ministers, when they crossed in front of the altar, they took a big step. And then he noticed even the altar guild, after the service was over, the altar guild, when they're cleaning up, they take this big step. They won't step in the center of the aisle. And so he started asking people about this. And the head of the altar guild said, well, this is where the priest stands. Lay people don't stand there, right? And he asked the head of the lay Eucharistic ministers, and the lay Eucharistic minister said, well, the shadow of the cross casts over the floor here, and we don't tread on Jesus' cross. And he asked some of the acolytes, and the acolytes said, well, we don't want to block people's view of the sacrament, so we step quickly across. Everyone's so sure they knew why they were doing this. Everyone's so sure they saw it clearly. And no one understood why they were doing this. It wasn't until the rector asked a long, long-standing member of the church. He said, oh, yes, yes. About three rectors ago, there used to be a prayer desk here. And you had to step over it or you trip. This prayer desk had not been there for 30 years. But people were still taking this big step because they thought they saw it clearly. They thought they knew what was going on. It's an opportunity that we have with all of each other to be in dialogue, to learn from each other and grow because of our shared vision. But in order to do that, you have to be in dialogue with each other. It's an opportunity that we all have. And I'll put forward an image of two different congregations I've seen recently. And because every day we get to decide who we're going to be. One church I recently was in where we did a wedding. It was a wedding for a biracial couple, and I watched as the black bride side of the family and the white groom side of the family, during the sharing of the peace, not one person crossed the center of the aisle to share peace with someone on the other side. Not one person did. So sure they were in what they saw on the other side, and it divided them. And they were not, intentionally not dwelling in relationship with each other. And because of that, they were missing out on the blessing happening right in front of them, missing out on this sacrament of God bringing these two people together in holy matrimony. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was at a congregation where I was presiding over a funeral for a young man whose life was tragically cut short. And in this service, I watched as we had people in the service, black, white, Hispanic, men and women, old and young, clearly richer and poorer, and they were holding each other. They were loving on each other because they weren't missing out on God in their midst, united by their shared love of this young man and in the assurance that God was there with them, and they were being God to each other in that space. It's an opportunity for us to see, as the reading from Samuel says, an opportunity for us to see beyond what we see on the outside and look as God does at the inside, at the heart. We can choose which congregation we want to be. Every day, do we want to be like the congregation in this wedding, like the Pharisees, so sure we are that we see what's clearly, that we don't even need to consider that God is maybe working in surprising ways around us? Or to be the people that I know we are, the people that I know we have the potential to be every day, who look to each other for support and guidance, realizing that none of us see the whole picture ourselves and that together we can better see how God is acting in surprising ways around us. If we do that, then we're like the blind man in this story, whose eyes are opened and he beholds God's abundant blessing for this world all around. Thanks be to God. Amen.